Welcome to another edition of Take Two Podcast. This episode features the silky smooth sounds of Bo and the ever insightful, quick-witted Brian. I, for one, am excited to hear what is to come. Take it away, gentlemen.
Well, that's one hell of an intro. Thank you, Roy, for setting up episode 29 of Take Two Podcast. I'm doing like the silky voice. I need to be doing like the quick-witted voice, and you have the silky voice, Bo.
Yeah, leave the silky voice to us, okay? I'll be the silky man.
Good evening, everybody, and this is Quick-Witted Brian with Silky Bo.
How you doing today? Good to see you. Welcome to Take Two.
Bo, let me ask you a question. When you're doing your silky voice late at night, is there anything you happen to be wearing?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, that doesn't help our promotion that I wanted to bring up of our brand new Take Two t-shirts that we now have.
Well, maybe I need to buy one to start wearing one.
Yay! Go to our Twitter, go to our Facebook page, at Take Two Podcast on Twitter, and you can find us Take Two Podcast on Facebook, also on our blog, website, Take2podcast.com. We have brand new t-shirts. They are available for men and women. They are in short sleeve and long sleeve, available in all the way from small to 5XL sizes in multiple colors. Buy one for yourself, buy one for your mom. It is Mother's Day coming up. Our very first ever Take Two Podcast t-shirt. Buy one now before they sell out.
I bought mine, just waiting for it to be delivered.
Ooh, finally, then you'll wear something
bed at night. Only when I don't have my silky voice.
All right, let's get the show rocking and rolling. We don't have any crazy reviews or tons of TV stuff. A lot of the TV shows got kicked back off this week, so we'll really get heavy into them once they get a couple episodes in. Gotham was back, and all the CW shows were back, but American Gods got started over the weekend, and Leftovers is hot and heavy right now, but nothing really heavy to review. You know, neither of us got to see a film over the weekend, so we might as well just jump right into our news and our box office and that kind of stuff, if that's cool. For the box office this weekend, The Fate of the Furious was the winner again. Came in just under $20 million. And number two, How to Be a Latin Lover, which wasn't that the biography of your life in college?
Well, except for the Latin part. I mean, just how to be a lover with a silky smooth voice.
There's such a theme this evening. That was about $12 million. Number three was Bahubali 2, The Conclusion. That came in at $10 million. You know, I wanted to see it, but I never saw Bahubali 1. That wouldn't be the conclusion. That'd be the beginning, maybe? I missed that.
Maybe. I would say it'd have to be the beginning, since number two is the conclusion. I'm assuming that means there's not going to be a trilogy.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I don't even know what Bahubali is. I mean, is that like a Indian thing or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a Bollywood indie film, literally India, not independent, but India. Opening weekend, $10 million for its opening weekend. That's not bad for the American box office.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Boss Baby number four at $9 million. The Circle at $9 million for its opening weekend. That's Tom Hanks and Emma Watson. I actually have interest in seeing that. I will see that coming up soon. It looked pretty good.
My wife wanted to see it, I mean, it's another one of those techies taking control of the world movies. I mean, once you've seen the Will Smith movie that talks about that, all the other ones pale in comparison. So,
okay, that's valid.
just an opinion.
You're allowed. That's what we are based on. That's what Take Two Podcast is all about. Six everyday guys giving you their opinions. We're not professionals. We just pretend to be. That rounds out our top five for the box office. You were saying this earlier today. This is the final weekend for Fate of the Furious because there's a decently heavy hitter of a film coming out next weekend that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yep, I actually called it last week when I did the show with Nick. I said this is going to be the last weekend for Fate because I see nothing that'll knock it out, but this is the week that Guardians is going to take over and rule the box office for the next couple weeks.
You nailed it. All right, that's our box office. I think, starting next weekend, it'll get more exciting, and we'll get some real serious numbers coming in. Very interested to see what that pulls in next week. But moving right along, you have a little bit of news for us this week?
Most of the news I have is just on upcoming movies and things like that. I was talking to you earlier about the Spider-Man. They're capitalizing on the new Homecoming movie coming out. They're redistributing Blu-ray versions of the first three Spider-Man and the second Amazing Spider-Man in their own little trilogy box. And I guess, well, second was not a trilogy, but they're going to do it in a Blu-ray. And the third of the first set of movies with Tobey Maguire, which is not the best movie of the trilogy, mm-hmm. They're actually just going to be an extended version. So there's going to be some uncut scenes, and who knows? You know, a lot of times when they do the extended version of a movie, it ends up being better than the original. And you're like, why did they even cut this out? So I personally like the third one. I don't know why people hated on it so much. I know the whole goth thing was kind of weird and the dancing, but it was kind of cool. Some of the fight scenes were pretty amazing.
I'll tell you, I mean, in my opinion, why I didn't like, I felt like they sold out a little more towards a summer blockbuster style film. I thought they really dumbed down J. Jonah Jameson with some cheesy one-liners, where in the first two films they felt like darker and grittier, and this one felt where they really pushed for like the family angle script to just try and make a ton of money. Not to mention that Venom could get a trilogy on his own, and I felt like they kind of wasted that away. Just my opinion. I didn't hate it as much as, like you said, a lot of people really hated that film. But I think that was just a couple reasons why they weren't liked. Now, both the original three Spider-Man and then the Amazing Spider-Man, the two with Andrew Garfield, were the same studio, right?
Yeah, it was all Sony.
It was all Sony. Okay, so they can put them all together. They just reimagined it and did the different route with Spider-Man versus the Amazing Spider-Man.
Correct, yeah. I think they're going to do it in two separate, like, the first is going to be a four-disc set. It's going to be the first three movies in Blu-ray, the third one's going to be an extended version, and they're going to have a fourth disc with all the movies on it in the new 4K.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you'll be able to get all four movies on the one disc in the, I guess it's the best recording style right now. Was it 4K?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have a 4K player or a 4K TV, so
there's the catch.
I know. I guess I have to go out and buy one now.
Did you see the thing that said who's the best Spider-Man, Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire, or Andrew Garfield poll that was running?
I heard about it. I didn't really see it, but I know people were telling me that the new kid, Holland, actually won out. I'm like, he hadn't even been Spider-Man long enough.
Yeah, I don't think that's a fair poll to run. The guy was, he hasn't had a film yet. Let him have a full film, and then we'll decide. I'm pumped for it to come out. It looks like it's going to be good.
I can't wait. I think he's going to be a good Spider-Man, a nice young Spider-Man. You know, he's going to be in high school still, right. Kind of the learning the ropes kind of thing. They just did a list of Spider-Man from five, worst to best. And it pretty much went in the order that everybody knew. You know, of course, the last one was Spider-Man 3, and then Spider-Man or the Amazing Spider-Man 2. With Electro,
mm-hmm.
And then the next Amazing Spider-Man was the, I guess, third worst, or no, third yeah. best.
Well, both
and
ways.
Then the first Spider-Man was the second best, and then the second Spider-Man was the first best.
Really?
Which, yeah, and I got to reading why, and actually, if you watch the second one has a better story or it's grittier. The guy playing Doc Ock is a great actor.
Alfred Molina.
He definitely put a lot of levels to the character. You know, made him evil, but not too evil.
How many levels? Like eight?
I would say maybe four tops. You know, maybe a little sensitive. You know, then a little angry.
Sorry, I did octopus eight. I did that was the joke I was going for. Yeah, sorry.
I caught on to that, but I didn't want to roll with it.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I'll look forward to that box set. I will say the one thing out of the Amazings that I liked what they were doing was the Sinister Six direction they were going. I really wish that had kept going because I liked what they were building with that.
Yeah, I did too. I was a little disappointed that they kind of cut that out because I would have liked to seen a movie. And Nick doesn't agree with me on this, but I would love to see a movie about bad guys. You know, just like the Sinister Six or a movie where we're getting ready to do the Star Wars our Star Wars episode on May the 4th. I'd like to see a Darth Vader movie.
Sure.
You know, just a Darth Vader after he become Darth Vader, maybe up until, you know, the episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the whole storyline there. I mean, I'd really like to see it because, you know, the little bit of they showed him in the last Star Wars movie fighting at the end was amazing. I would love to see more of that. So there's a lot of bad guys, and Nick doesn't believe so because he thinks that all movies should have, you know, a bad guy, and if you're focusing on the bad guy, then you don't have a bad guy to go against him. I'm thinking, well, the good guy is their bad guy, so am I right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, both opinions, I think, are right. It's, you know, how far do you push the anti-hero versus just the villain? You know, Suicide Squad, they tried to give some heart to the bad guys, but then what happens next when we see Suicide Squad versus Batman?
Right.
You're just innate. You just want to cheer for Batman. And then these characters who are supposed to be bad, you now care for. So it's a difficult path to walk down, but I'm with you. I'd love to see a villain led film of that direction, you know, with them trying to come together. Very, very Suicide Squad-esque, but I don't know. Don't make them so good where you're enjoying them. You have to just make them more of an anti-hero type.
Right, and I think you can do it with Darth Vader because I think a lot of people love that character. You know, they love the character. A lot of people say it's their favorite character. So I think it would work with him.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice. Maybe there's a struggle there. Maybe it's a struggle of him wanting to be bad, but kind of goes back to good every now and then. I don't know. It could be a good story.
Yeah, I mean, some people would just call those the Star Wars films, but I see what you mean. Like, just... But a deeper, you know, we're really following Vader throughout his whole journey more so. I see what you're saying. Could be cool, man.
Could be, I thought. Anyway. See, next thing is Logan.
I've already seen it. What could you possibly tell me about it? I've already seen it.
they're coming out with a black and white version on May 16th.
Are they really?
However, yeah, I thought it'd be kind of cool. But it seems to be it's only going to be like on May 16th, like a one-day thing. So... Depends on how many theaters they get or if they, you know, if they do it just in certain cities or whatever. But it's kind of cool. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Although I could just wait till I get the DVD or the Blu-ray and just, you know, turn my TV black and white. Same thing, right?
That's valid. My daughter recently asked when she saw a black and white film that I had on if the world was black and white back in the day. Like, if color just wasn't invented for everything, not just on television, just in life, if everyone's black and white.
Prior to the 1950s, everything was black and white, right? I mean...
Yeah, there was no color on it. It was like Pleasantville. Like, everybody was actually black and white.
Exactly.
I will be checking my listings. If I have that date open, that'd be fun to see.
I think it would be. I wouldn't mind seeing the... I did like the movie enough to where I would go see it again. So, and to see it in black and white would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they can put in some scenes that were cut or something. I don't know. No. Kind of spice it up a little bit.
Everything else was cut in that film with his claws.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Lots of blend gore. Good job. You are witty.
All right. What else you got for us?
Let's see. Not too much, really. I think I read that they are starting on a second script for Wonder Woman 2.
Really?
Yeah, already. So... that should be quite fun.
So before you move on, I have a Wonder Woman, so I'll piggyback on you real quick. And two things. Number one, have you noticed or thought that there have not been a lot of advertising for Wonder Woman?
Not as much as I like for the Batman versus Superman. I mean, I've seen the trailers. I haven't seen a lot of spots on TV.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of that is we don't watch TV like we used to, where you actually saw commercials every day. But there's a couple articles I just read about people are saying there's not a lot of press and advertising for Wonder Woman. And some folks are starting to think maybe that's because it's bad and they don't want to put it out there. My opinion, I think it's the other way around. Usually a movie that a studio knows is going to be bad, they promo the hell out of it. You know, just to try and get that opening weekend, try and steal some cash real quick before people actually see it and realize it was crap.
Exactly. Yeah, they definitely put more into the advertising and the trailers. Like Nick said, they put almost too much into the trailer.
Right.
You start doing that, you're thinking, wow, this movie must not have the legs to stand on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Okay, continue on, sir.
I put something up on our website,
Take2Podcast.com.
.com. And it was all the movies that were coming out in 2018.
And you're going to list every one of them right now?
Every single one right now.
No, sit back, folks. Here we go.
They're on the website, so you don't have to listen
to them.
Oh,
that's cool.
I mean, there's a couple that I didn't know, like the New Mutants X-Men movie from Fox. I didn't know that was coming out.
Cool.
That's Avengers Xfinity 4, of course, everybody can't. Xfinity War comes out in May, which is very exciting. Everybody knew about that. Deadpool 2. Let's see, pretty much all the ones we knew. Oh, Incredibles 2.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Oh, and the Venom. We were just talking about Venom. Venom's finally getting its own movie. Slated for October.
Nice.
And it's supposed to be a scary movie, so you may not want to go see it.
Oh, man. I'm so torn because I love that. I love that character. Oh, okay. So I guess on top of those, then there will be some DC films. They're talking about at least one Batman-type film, either Gotham City Sirens or Nightwing or Batgirl. And then DC said they just wanted to film a random film, so maybe they could sneak a Man of Steel 2 in there. So 2018 could have some solid stuff.
Yep, Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, they just started filming in Australia.
Yep, started filming that, and it's slated for December.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and then you got an animated Spider-Man movie, which it'd be interesting to see how that does in the theater. Usually animated, or they usually go right to DVD. So, and it's supposed to be, I think, Morales.
Is it Miles Morales?
Miles Morales, I believe. Yeah.
Cool.
So that'd be kind of good. Dark Phoenix. Looks like Marvel's just like taking over in 2018.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix looks good stuff. And that's got Sophie Turner, who's in Game of Thrones.
Right, and they might be recasting Rogue. So it may not be the... It might be the... Not going to be the old Rogue that we're used to seeing.
It won't be Sookie?
Don't think so.
Old Anna Paquin? Oh, well.
Yeah, look at you. See, you're so quick with these names.
I have... It depends on who they are. I have my moments.
And to me, I think that's... For me, that's pretty much. Let me see. Hold on. Let me check one more thing.
All right, you get one more to check.
You're a big fan of Disney. You see where Johnny Depp was?
Yes.
On the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
How cool is that?
How amazing would that be? That'd be awesome. And how many people looked at him and said, "Ah, oh, that's not really him."
Right.
It's not him.
So was he at Land or World?
Let's see. Hold on. It was Disneyland.
Okay, so he's out in Cali.
California, yeah.
And he dressed up like, what's the pirate's name?
Just like, what's his name?
Right. See, I don't watch those films.
Jack Sparrow?
Yeah, that's right. Captain Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack. Yeah, it had to be Jack. Captain Jack.
Right.
So.
But he stood there, and then as the ride went by, people saw him, and then eventually realized that he was the legit Johnny Depp standing right there.
Which actually would be pretty cool. I mean, I would...
Oh, yeah.
Be like, no, that's some great animatronics.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's really good. Other than that, it's pretty much all I have. Oh, have you been watching The Flash? Are you caught up on The Flash?
No, I did not see. Wait, yeah, I am caught up because what's today? Right. Monday? Then yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. So it's getting really good. I mean, it's to me, in my opinion, that's probably one of the better DC movie or TV shows out right now.
Yeah, I'm still Gotham number one, but I do like The Flash a lot, despite my not loving of Grant Gustin's Barry Allen. But yeah, it is good. And like now the cliffhanger they gave us is that Killer Frost sees who Savitar is, and immediately it's so shocking, whoever this dude is, you know, is I'm in, you know, whatever. She'll like, do whatever he says.
Whatever you say, I'm in.
So who could it be? Who could it be, though, Turner?
So you don't like the actor that plays Barry?
I like Grant Gustin. I just, to me, The Flash, Barry Allen was always just so arrogant and cocky.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting that from him. Like, I hate whenever someone's like, oh, Iris is in trouble. And he's like, don't worry, we'll save her. I promise. I guarantee, I promise. I just, sometimes I want to say, like, how do you promise, dude? Like, how do you know? Like, you're just talking out of your ass right now.
Well, that's kind of the cockiness you were saying you liked.
I mean, yeah, I don't. Maybe he just needs to say it more like whimsically or something.
I tend to find him a little on the whiny side. He seems to be like, You know, I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to be my family. And I kind of look for the one that's at least in the cartoons for me. The animated versions are. He's pretty, like you said, pretty cocky, pretty witty, pretty funny.
Yeah, because he and Batman's relationship in the books and then in the animated features are, you know, he's always delivering the one-liners and, you know, busting stones on Batman, and Batman then stays deadpan the whole time. And I'm not getting that from this Flash. But nothing away from the show. I do love the Flash show, and he's a solid actor, but...
Yeah. I just think, as far as, like, superheroes, like, you know... Every show has something to do with the Flash catching a bad guy or the Flash doing whatever Flash does.
Uh-huh.
I love Gotham. I love the storyline. I want to start seeing some superhero stuff. I want to see some Batman stuff. You know, I want to see some Joker versus Batman. But I know it's young and early in the show. But
yeah.
So, and that's my little 2 cents worth.
Okay, so before we move on to my news, even though he couldn't join us this evening, Tony saw the film Colossal, starring Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis, and he got to check it out, and he gave us a review. So right now, we're going to throw in, here is Tony with his amazing review of Colossal.
Hey, thanks, Brian. I did want to be there with you guys tonight, so I'm sorry, but I felt like I needed to chime in a little bit with the movie I saw this week called Colossal, starring Anne Hathaway. This movie was pretty interesting, a very original movie, bizarre, really, if you will, because it's really a mashup of a couple different kinds of movies. It's like a kaiju monster sci-fi movie, similar to Godzilla, but then they also add in a whole romantic comedy subplot, and even some dramatic elements and some tragedy, if you will, near the end of the movie, without giving away too much. Like I said, very original movie. The first movie directed by Nacho Vigalondo for English language theaters. My only issue with it is that they kind of try to do too much by mashing all those different things together. So for me, it never quite works all the way, but it does have some great laughs and some great performances. Anne Hathaway is great in this movie. I'm used to seeing her in some of the bigger budget movies recently, but I like seeing her return now to her more indie roots where she kind of first started, and I really enjoyed her in this movie. She's like an unemployed alcoholic writer, and just, she's funny, and she has some good physicality about her too in her comedy, and Jason Sudeikis is actually really well cast as her old friend from back home that they both play off of really well and have some great scenes and sequences together. So I really enjoyed both of their work, and even Dan Stevens, who we've seen recently in Beauty and the Beast and Legion on FX. He's been doing great stuff. He's in it a little bit in this movie, but the scenes he's in are memorable. He's a good, smarmy little ex-boyfriend who's real condescending to her and her lifestyle. And he's similar to like a late 90s Hugh Grant in one of those kind of movies. So overall, I did enjoy the movie. I thought it was funny, great performances. The monster sequences are actually pretty good for it being a relatively low-budget indie movie. It's a $15 million budget, and they did what they could with that budget. My only concern is they're probably not going to make that money back in the theater, because this is very limited release, indie-style movie, not getting a lot of big buzz, but it's worth checking out, definitely. It's original, it's funny. I've never really seen anything like this, and in my opinion, you could probably wait and just check it out when it comes around on DVD or streaming. But definitely check it out, and it's an interesting movie. If you want to read more about what I had to say about it, you can check our website, take2podcast.com. I did a little write-up there. And in the last week or so, I've had a couple other posts up there that if you guys want to check out. We talked about Bates Motel had its series finale, which I thought was phenomenal. I've followed the show since it began 5 seasons ago, so if you want to read what I had to say about that, please visit our website. And we also had Fargo started up just in the last week or so, and I had a little write-up about that as well, and how that show has been fantastic, and now we're in our 3rd season, so I find it very interesting. So if you're not on Fargo, please check that out. So as always, check our website, take2podcast.com, find us on Facebook, Take Two Podcast, or on Twitter, Hit us up on the email, too, at take2podcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you're watching, if there's something we're not watching that you think we should, or just respond to what we're talking about and get a discussion going with us about these movies and these shows that we love. We'd love to hear from you guys. So thanks for listening and reading.
All right. Thanks, Tony. And as Tony just said, make sure to jump over to take2podcast.com because he'll have a blog write-up already posted and a couple of articles on a whole bunch of other stuff. But check out his more in-depth review on the website and send us your thoughts as well. take2podcast@gmail.com and at take2podcast on the Twitter. And of course, you can find us on Facebook, take2podcast. While you're on Facebook, click onto the link to buy our brand new t-shirts over at Teespring. Bo already ordered his. Maybe I should order mine before they sell out, because supplies will not, or they will go fast. Excuse me.
Supplies will go fast, that's for sure.
So speaking of Flash, speaking of going fast, did you see who is rumored to be the director of the Flash movie?
I did.
Old Bob Zemeckis.
Zemeckis, yes.
Which
I'm looking forward to that with the whole time travel thing and...
Yeah, he's a little well-versed in time-traveling films, I'd have to say.
He's had a little expertise in that genre of movie.
Only if Huey Lewis and the News do the soundtrack for the Flash film.
Yes.
I'm all for it. I think that's a heavy hitter. I think if they book, it's not a done deal, but, you know, when they say a guy's in the talks and he's taking meetings, you know, how much more do we have to do? It's like, Bob, how many zeros do you want in your check? Thanks, done. When do you want to start shooting?
And what's he been doing lately? Is he doing anything right now?
You know, not that I know of, actually.
So, hey, it's a good way to jump into the superhero movie genre, which seems to be killing it at the box office.
And I think if they swing him, this is big for DC lately. You know, swinging Joss Whedon for Batgirl, and now if they were to pick up Zemeckis for The Flash. You know, these are big momentum shifters to go against Marvel, you know, in the fight that they have going on. It would definitely start to even the balance. Now, granted, let's see what type of product he puts out, but...
Right. Yeah, I said in the last show with Nick, DC's definitely picking up the pace. Their shows, their movies are starting to look good. I'm starting to look forward to them more than I was before. DC's definitely going in the right direction, getting the right people. Hopefully the chemistry will be better.
So speaking of chemistry, Kelly Ripa, she hosts a TV show during the daytime. Not sure if you've heard of it. It used to be this Regis and Kathy Lee lady.
Oh, I remember that show.
Yeah, that was when you were in college.
I was a young lad.
then Kathy Lee bounced, and then Regis. Then he picks up Kelly, and then Regis bounced, and then Kelly picks up Michael Strahan. But then Michael Strahan did her dirty. And so she's been kind of on her own for almost a year, but they finally announced now she's getting her own co-host. And to me, this is like a good signing, right? Like it's a quality signing who they got. But
I agree.
It's boring to me, like who it is.
Well,
like,
it's my thing is what is he not doing right now?
Exactly.
He's doing everything.
Yeah. So for those who didn't hear, Ryan Seacrest got booked. He's going to be the new co-host. It's going to be Ripa and Ryan in the morning. I just made that up. That might not be their actual title, but I think it should be.
I actually like that.
Yeah, thanks. That sounds like a morning, like a local, you know, like a local show, you know.
Like a DJ show. Hello, this is Ripa and Ryan. Coming right. to you live on the radio.
Caller 7 wins tickets to tonight's game. Anyway.
Okay, so yeah, that's a morning zoo thing. But I mean, how many shows is this guy going to do? I mean, he's taking over for Dick Clark. I mean, he's got radio shows. What else is he doing? What is he not doing? I think it's a shorter list.
I guess since Idol ended, he has some time on his hands.
Yeah.
But true, I thought, maybe. But his radio show, he does the daily radio show out of L.A., so I guess he's got to move to New York.
Oh, that's true. Does he still do the Casey Kasem countdown?
I thought so, but don't quote me. Maybe not, because maybe all of that's gone now since he's taken. I mean, this is a good gig for him. This is huge.
No doubt. Yeah.
So anyway, congrats to Ryan Seacrest for finally booking some work.
Man, that guy's got to do something around here.
Well, speaking of booking work or not booking work, the writer's strike, we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. It's not going away, and the rumors are getting stronger and stronger. And if this thing goes through and the writers do go on strike, be prepared for your fall TV shows to not be funny. or not be any good, because this happened before. And if you ask a lot of people, like, random seasons of their shows that were just not great, it was because the writers were on strike back then. And the rumors are hot and heavy. The film industry won't fully be affected too much, or at least in the short term, because that stuff's done. But all your fall TV shows, your sitcoms, your weekly episodic shows, they'll greatly be affected. And I don't, there's no more hard data, but, you know, the longer it lasts, the worse it looks that it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, I know the last time they had this strike, it was pretty devastating for a lot of shows. I know one of those shows that comes to mind for me was Heroes.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I mean, they were literally right in the middle of, I guess it was the second season. And, you know, they had a couple shows in the can, and I guess they had to shorten the season, and it pretty much didn't make any sense. And it actually lost me as a fan.
Yeah.
So, because the next season was not good, and it just kind of wilted off. But a lot of shows will definitely be affected, especially newer shows that haven't had a chance to, you know, get their base fans. It'd be disappointing if they do strike. I wish they would give them what they want. You know, sounds like they're deserving of it.
Yeah, and as we know, it's all about that base.
All about that base. No trouble, baby.
In Tribeca Film Festival, it wrapped up over the weekend. Apparently, it was a big success. A lot of people had a good time at the Tribeca Film Festival. Robert De Niro decided to put together a little reunion. Bo, stop me if you've heard of this film. It was called The Godfather.
Godfather.
If it doesn't ring a bell, it's okay. Not very popular.
Was that with Morgan Freeman?
Very close. Yes, very close.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He put together, right at the end, a reunion of De Niro, Francis Ford Coppola, Khan, Pacino, Keaton, Talia Shire, Robert Duvall. They all got back together, and they haven't done this in a very long time, for just kind of like a cool Godfather reunion for a Q&A. They did the whole Q&A. They talked, did clips, and then they showed both 1 and 2 back-to-back. It turned into like this big 9-hour event. So anyone that stuck through that entire thing, God bless them.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I like how they didn't show 3, though.
No, well, they ran out of time. Next time. We'll get, sorry.
that's the Spider-Man 3 of that trilogy, I guess.
Maybe they were showing 3 and everybody just left. They're like, you know what, I got to get going.
All right, I guess 3's coming on. We're leaving. Yeah, time for lunch.
They said it was pretty cool. They said how Coppola was very OCD about every little thing, and Pacino, he multiple times kind of quit. And they had a couple of guys in his corner that were like, no, you got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. You're actually not doing that bad. You know, stick around. And he kept saying he thought he should be playing Sonny Corleone. He really wanted that role. And De Niro then chimed in and said that's what he auditioned for and didn't get it. And then they wound up pushing De Niro to part 2. And then, you know, he played young Vito Corleone. And it's all history at this point. But just fun, interesting stuff.
I always found that interesting when people say, oh, I wish I would have played, or I tried out for that part and didn't get it. How a movie would have turned out if a different actor played the part.
Or
if it, you know, if the casting was different. The movie was great. The book, I'm sure the books were great. The scripts were great. But you know, sometimes an actor just doesn't fit in. Just like, for instance, for Back to the Future. You know, Eric Stoltz was the original one to play Marty McFly. He didn't work out. They filmed like the first, quarter of the movie.
They filmed a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they decided, you know what, his chemistry is just, his delivery of the lines just weren't what they were looking for. And so they had to scrap that and get old Mr. Keaton in there.
Could you,
did a good job.
No. Oh, Alex P. Keaton?
Yes.
Got it.
I'm glad you got that.
AKA Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Alex P. Keaton.
Could you imagine something like that happening today, though? Like in the world of social media where they're like, oh, no, it's not working with Affleck, so we're just going to bag this Batman and just start all over again.
Well, Nick had a good point last time. This is like a lot of the studios are afraid to take chances, and there's so much money involved and so much chance. Once they start something, they're not going to stop it. I don't see them doing that.
True. Very true.
But I've always thought it'd be interesting to see a remake of a movie, but with, you know, different actors with the same script, everything else, but just different actors playing their, you know, how they think the role should be played.
Kevin Smith famously says that acting is all about the choices that you make. And so you're spot on. Every actor would make a totally different choice.
Yeah, and it could be a total different outcome on the movie.
Right. Right. And so for that, anyone listening, next time you're watching a show, as you're watching an actor deliver their line, just think in your head, okay, had I been given those lines, how would I have said that? How would I have said those words in that scenario right then and there? And most likely it's going to be totally different than what the guy on screen just said. And then, so that just totally changes the scene. It totally changes your partner and everything. So you're right.
Yeah. And also, you know, you have to have somebody to feed off of. Somebody have good, if you don't have chemistry with a co-actor or, you know, a co-star or whatever, things can just fall apart real quick.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of falling apart, great segue, Bo.
God, you're awesome.
ESPN fired over 100 people. We don't talk a lot of sports on here. We reference it when it's topical. I think right now it's topical. This is another speaking towards the writer's strike and towards just how the industry works and how studios put so much money into certain things. They put way too much money into certain things and had to let go of over 100 employees, including some serious name brand talent. Some of their top baseball writers, some of their top hockey guys that they have. A couple of footballs, not many, because that's their bread and butter. But it's just crazy that any studio, especially one owned by ABC, owned by Disney, that just is a money-churning machine, would make the mistakes financially that they would have to have such a huge layoff day like that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird to me. Although, I mean, how many ESPN channels can you really have?
ESPN, the Ocho?
Yeah, Ocho and 1-2 and ESPN Gold. I mean, it's just ridiculous, all these different... I mean, there's so many. There's only been so many, and how often do they play Sports Center? Like 8 times.
Yeah.
You know, in the morning, and I don't know. It seems like they build this brand so much, and they try to fill it just like 24-hour news. You know, they have all this time, and then they got to fill it with something.
Yeah.
And sometimes the stuff that they fill it with just isn't interesting. You know.
And you can just spread yourself too thin. I mean, when we were kids, Sports Center got recorded at 6 a.m. And they just replayed that 4 times until noon, 5 times.
Right.
And that was it. And because that way, if you woke up at 6, you saw it. If you woke up at 8, you could catch it. And that was it. Now, you just get one live show, the next live show. So you're paying all this talent. You're paying all this crew, all these people, all the fee for broadcasting rights, all the advertising. And it just, the money goes out the door.
Yeah.
So they spread themselves a little thin.
I can see where you get caught up, you know, because sports is a big industry. I mean, everybody loves sports. You know, you either play it or you watch it, or, you know, and especially with the introduction of fantasy sports, you know, ESPN took a big chunk of that. You know, they started their own fantasy football stuff. And, you know, I can see where they get carried away and think, oh, they need more. Next thing you know, you got too much. You get rid of them.
All right, moving along. Back to the old Woman of Wonder, Wonder Woman coming out. Regal Studios and Cinemas has something called their Gold Ticket. And this is, you buy this one ticket for $100, and you are able to go see Wonder Woman once a day, every day, for as long as Regal Cinemas has it in their theater. So I think they did this with Batman v Superman, and it was kind of popular, so they're bringing it back. They're also going to do it with Guardians, which comes out this weekend, part 2. But Wonder Woman's is cool because, look this up, and we'll add a link to it on our Twitter. The ticket you get is pretty cool looking. It's like a solid gold bar, very like Willy Wonka-esque. But then with the Wonder Woman logo in it, I think it's, if it won $100, I'd do it just to get the keepsake of the ticket, you know?
Yeah, it's a collector's item. Absolutely.
But I think, you know, if you really know that you're going to go see this a couple of times, if you know that a friend or family member is going to go see it a couple times, maybe it's worth it. But I mean, what, you know, 10 times pays for it, right?
Not even that many. I mean, I would say 8.
Yeah, 8. Maybe. So if you figure
10 to 15 a ticket, you know.
Right, exactly.
I know that if they would have had this for when the very first Spider-Man came out in 2002, I would have used it and I would have abused it. Because I saw that movie at least 6 or 7 times in the theater.
You want to go on back for a second ticket? Can I get another one, please?
I need another $100 one, because this one I've used up. It's not gold anymore.
With my luck, I'd buy it. I'd go see the matinee, and then I get a call from like someone wanting to see it that night. I'm like, oh, I can't. Can I go tomorrow? I already used up my one viewing for the day.
I can't do it. I already saw it. Yeah. Yeah, that would kind of suck.
Moving right along, we had a humongous event coming up this week, and we wanted to give you a little commercial going towards it. Here we go.
A long time ago, in a podcast feed far, far away, your Take-Two hosts got together to celebrate the greatest franchise in cinematic history. Star Wars, May the 4th Spectacular. That's right. All our hosts got together to discuss all things Star Wars, from the past all the way towards the future. So take a listen, this May the 4th, to the Take-Two Star Wars Spectacular. And boldly go where no man has gone before. Oh, wait, shit.
And we'll edit that last part out.
Why, is there something wrong with that last part?
No,
oh, just the bad word.
The end,
you know, that part.
Naughty, naughty. Family show.
So, as one of our great co-hosts, Craig, just stated, we have a May the 4th spectacular coming up this week on May the 4th. So if you're listening to the show on Friday the 5th, just, you know, pretend. It is a all Star Wars, everything Star Wars spectacular. We talk about our favorite characters, our least favorite characters, our favorite moments in all of the 8 films that have been released, what we got coming up, the direction Disney's taking it, the music that we loved, everything about it, plus a bunch of crazy hijinks in between. I will or will not confirm that Tony had a lot of toys that he debuted. It's a good time. We had a lot of fun.
It was fun, yeah. I enjoyed doing it. Like I said, I've seen all the movies. I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I love the movies. And it was fun to talk about them and, you know, actually sit here and think, what was my favorite part? Or what was my favorite character? But it was a lot of good answers, a lot of good times, a lot of laughs. We had a good time filming, taping it.
Yep, so this Thursday, check your iTunes, your Podomatic, or Stitcher, however you listen to us, because we will be releasing our May the 4th Be With You Spectacular.
You get it? May the 4th. Get it?
All right, so did you hear about the Oneaters reunion?
No.
The Wonders from That Thing You Do, that Tom Hanks movie that Liv Tyler, Tom Everett Scott that came out in 1996. Three of the band members got together at the goddamn comedy jam out in L.A., and they wound up jumping on stage and playing That Thing You Do.
Wow, pretty awesome.
A little impromptu jam sesh and reunion. Reunions all abound lately, apparently.
Yeah, it seems to be the theme now, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. All right, did you see that the Orange and New Black hack?
I did. And, you know, to this day, I don't understand why people hack and do that. I mean, I don't know. I guess there's fun in it. I don't know, whatever.
Well, this person tried to get money out of it.
Did they try to, like, hold it ransom or something?
Yeah, and Netflix said no. They hacked. The new season of Orange and the New Black is supposed to come out in a month or so. And so they hacked into it. They have all the episodes, and they threatened Netflix. Pay us X amount of dollars, or we will release it. Netflix said, go ahead and release it. So the hackers released episodes 2 through 10 out of the 13, and then I guess just yesterday released season opener as well. So 1 through 10 are now available through this hacker site instead of Netflix, if you so care to desperately see that beforehand.
You know, there's a lot of people that would do that. I'd rather just go to Netflix. I've got a subscription. You know, Take it from the source, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not into all that nonsense with the hacking, and I'm not sure how it works, but I like that Netflix was just like, whatever, dude. Just, we're not paying you a dime. Go ahead and release it.
Yeah, we make enough money. We just spent over $100 million to get, you know, Pacino and De Niro and all of them together to make a series. So, yeah, I think we're doing okay.
Yeah. The live-action Lion King film being directed by Jon Favreau has cast its Timon and Pumbaa.
I did not know Jon Favreau was the director.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So Eichner and Rogan are your stars to play Timon and Pumbaa, which I think is pretty cool.
I think so too.
Yes.
Very funny guys.
Seth Rogan is pretty well known for multiple films. Billy Eichner well-known as well. Rogan's playing Pumbaa. Excuse me. That's what I was trying to remember. Rogan's playing Pumbaa. Eichner's playing Timon. Yeah, solid castings. That'll be pretty good.
I think it'll be great. Are they going? Is this going to be like straight script, just like the original, or are they going to? It's going to be like an updated script. Are they going to change things? Because I totally want to see Seth Rogen saying that scene was when they were singing, they were trying to get away from the hyenas.
Oh yeah, when they were singing Hakuna Matata. Or?
No, and they were trying to. They were trying to lure the hyenas away, and they were singing "Are you aching for some bacon?"
Oh,
and they got the hula hoops. Yeah, I mean the hula dresses on.
Yeah, that's right. So that's become a star-studded cast too, with James Earl Jones and Donald Glover.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I think Disney is on to something with these live action of the cartoons.
Mm-hmm. That'll be July of 2019. That comes out a little closer to home on TV of 2018 that you were bringing up earlier. The Teen Titans live action TV show has been announced.
Ooh, that's gonna be good.
I don't think it has a network yet. I think originally it was actually aiming towards TNT, but that fell through. So I'm gonna, you know, if I were to guess, I would say the CW is gonna pick this up.
I think the CW, that's becoming their genre now, is you know, those kind of fantasy superhero movies or shows.
The biggest thing I saw was Geoff Johns, who's DC's Golden Boy, is involved. He's writing for it, which is, that's a big deal, you know. Yeah. So that'll be cool. Get Greg Berlanti in there, because he knows his DC stuff, and he handles all the CW shows. I'm sure he'll build some nice continuity amongst it all. And oh, man, can you imagine those crossovers if they throw them in there?
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, you know, I'm hoping DC does that to where they start having, the characters from the movies and the characters from the TVs kind of blend a little bit, you know?
Lastly, I have is that in London, Tom Hardy stopped a moped thief. Did you see this story?
I did not.
Yeah. Apparently, he was walking down the street and right in front of him, two guys jumped and stole a moped. And they started to flee, and Tom Hardy, like out of an action film, ran, cut them off. He ran through two people's yards, hopping over fences and everything, and then stopped the one guy to the point where he had to then veer into traffic, and then wound up kind of not getting injured crashing, but crashing to the point where then he couldn't get away. And then Tom Hardy stopped him, and then the cops showed up and arrested the guy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Could you imagine if you steal something and you look behind you and there's Bane on your tail?
if you had the mask on, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, you can have it.
No, stop with that moped right now.
Who do you think you are taking that moped? Oh, God.
If I looked in my rear view and there's Bane chasing after me, I'm like, you can just have it. I'm good. Thanks. Bye.
Yes, bye. I'm done.
In fact, here, I have handcuffs of my own. I'll just put them on right now. Thanks.
Here's some money. Here's the point to put gas that I used.
I was just filling it up. I was just bringing it. It looked a little low. All right, brother. That's all I got, man. I'm out of my news.
I am out. I am done. I'm spent.
Awesome. We talked about the May the 4th episode because that's coming out this Thursday. Check your iTunes, your Stitcher, your Podomatic for our gigantic May the 4th spectacular. When you're done,
tell your friends and enjoy the show. If you like Star Wars, you'll love it.
Check on Wednesday for your leftovers. Episode number 3 is coming out this week. Tony, Roy, myself, we will be breaking that down as usual. We also have another iZombie specialty episode that's coming out later on this week, if not early of next week. And then we also have a gigantic musicals-only special. We had our friend Casey Spivey on, Craig, Tony, and myself. We broke down all things musical, stage and screen, and things that we were in. And that is being released this Saturday. So you have a ton of Take Two podcast content coming out within the next couple of days. I hope you guys can keep up.
It's a lot to keep up on. Plus, we have stuff we haven't even recorded yet. You know, you and I and Craig are doing our special 13 Reasons Why episodes pretty soon.
And we've actually been in contact with a couple of their actors that were on it. So we might have a special surprise for you, but look for that very soon, the 13 Reasons Why specialty episode.
Seems to be a hot topic nowadays, and it'd be fun to tackle it. And
My daughter's school sent an email today.
Did Did they?
Yeah.
Same thing? Try to tell your kid not to read it or watch it?
It was very, you know, her school is only up to eighth grade. So it was very, I mean, their email should be like, your kids under eighth grade shouldn't be watching this anyway, because that's a little too young, in my opinion. But they took a
little bit,
they took a very passive approach, and they straight up said, we're not passing judgment on the series in any way. Some of our teachers have seen it, but, and then they provided like 10 links towards suicide prevention and bullying and et cetera. So they just wanted to like send out an email that they're aware, that we should be aware, and you should have combos. Not as bad, not as bad. That's the wrong phrase. Not as strong a stance as some other counties. I know Virginia and Maryland are sending out a lot of emails just for their county schools. I think you got one.
Well, I don't have any kids in school now, so.
Ah, well, Tony did. I know Tony did.
Tony did, yeah. Tony did. But, yeah, they're sending them out, basically. And it's not even, I don't even know what the letters are saying. But I think they're pretty much saying, yeah, this glorifies suicide. And, you know, you should at least watch it with your kid if they're going to watch it at all. Which I don't think, I didn't think the show glorified anything.
Right.
I thought the show did a great job in saying how bad all this stuff is and what could be caused from it. So I can't wait to get to the show. I got a lot to say about it. I'd like to hear what you and Craig have to say.
Yeah, we'll dive deep into this when we do our specialty episode coming out soon. But I will say this: you know what it is doing? We're talking about it.
Yes.
A conversation is happening. Whether it's good or bad, people are talking about this subject. So at the very least, some good is coming.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I'm hoping people that have tendencies towards that can watch this and say, and see, because I kind of like how they did it with the character who actually does commit suicide. How they not only show what could have been done by other people, but maybe what could have been done by her. Mm-hmm. To get herself help.
Yeah.
It seemed like she put all the trouble on everybody else to try to stop her when she could have done a couple things.
Sure, sure.
One or two things. And hopefully somebody else will see that and say, you know what, maybe I'll just go ahead and say something to somebody and give myself some help.
Wrapping up our fantastic show this evening is our usual going forward. As we just mentioned, for Take Two Podcast, with all the things that we have going forward, we hope you guys are on board. We hope you join and buy a t-shirt, because we would love to see you guys walking around town with a Take Two Podcast t-shirt. We have short sleeve, long sleeve, and women's in multiple colors you can choose. You can find them on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, at Take Two Podcast. Also in teespring.com, jump over them and then type in Take Two Podcast, and you'll be able to find us in the entertainment and film category there. Send us your emails, take2podcast@gmail.com, and check out our website at take2podcast.com is our website, where you'll also find our t-shirts there. You'll find all of our articles. We're posting a ton of stuff. We're actually posting them too quickly, I think. We got so much content up there, you know?
There's a lot of content up there. I've watched a lot of other blog sites. I don't see them putting up half the stuff we put up.
Including just yesterday, we put up our origin stories. There is a brand new About Us section. We all drew straws to see who would write a bio for each other. And we wrote up each other's little biography, a quick, you know, 2-3 sentences about each other. There's a wonderful looking picture of each and every one of us that you can read about each host.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yours is actually very well done, I must say.
Mine looks pretty good. I like that. I love yours too, though. I was just looking at yours.
Oh, thanks.
We love
each other.
We do. You and me, B&B.
These shows are great. All right. Hey, listen, folks, just email in. If you want just a Killer Bees episode and get rid of these other guys, just say so. It's cool.
We've been talking a lot about chemistry here on the show, and I feel the B&B got a lot of chemistry. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so this weekend, what do we got coming out? We have a dinner with Richard Gere, Laura Linney, Rebecca Hall. We have a movie called The Lovers coming out. And I think that's it, right? That's all the movies coming out this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think that's at least worth seeing.
Worth seeing.
You know, I mean, there's something about a raccoon in a tree. I don't know.
Oh,
some,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
it might be okay.
That Chris Pratt guy, he's not too popular. I think he's in a film.
That's that fat guy, right?
He once was one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Then he realized he had to outrun some velociraptors one day, so he shut up.
He's chasing them with motorcycles. Come on.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 in theaters this Friday. I can all but guarantee at least 3 to 4 of our hosts will be seeing it this weekend, if not all 6.
I'm going as far as saying at least 5.
At least 5?
At least 5.
Okay.
Definitely you.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm sure Tony will be in.
Nick gave me a long diatribe today about what day he'll be permitted to see it through the wife. He said very nice things, just in case she's listening, about her.
Right. He's just got a lot of things that are going on.
Let me rephrase. Yeah, he was just going over his calendar, that's all. but he wants to be seeing it, yeah. Yes, and so. Yeah, 5's a good guess. 5 out of 6, at least, should be seeing it. You're absolutely right. 5.
Let's put it this way. The next show that comes out will definitely be mostly talked about that movie, I'm sure. Matter of fact, that might be the only movie we talk about.
Yeah, maybe if we all do see it, maybe we'll just have to do a specialty episode.
Oh, yes.
Crazy.
I am Groot.
Okay, that does it for me this evening, buddy.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for having me on. I love being on the show. It's good times.
As always. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And if you get a chance on iTunes, a rating and review really, really does help our show out. A positive one, obviously, but a quick 5-star review and just a little snippet about how much you love us. You actually don't know how much that helps. And Podomatic, it's Stitcher. If you're listening there, we love your comments. We take them all the time. And we'll also call them out on air. Have a comment. We'll mention your name.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.